You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Yes, You Can.
Hallelujah. Let him glory in this, that he knoweth me. I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight. God said, I delight when you tell folks, I don't know, but the Lord told me to do it. How you going to buy that? I don't know, but the Lord told me I'm going to buy it. How you going to get that? I don't know, but the Lord told me it's mine. Are y'all hearing me? Glory to God. Listen, Bishop Jake telling his story one day, and he talked about, you know, he for years, he pastored us, for the most part, a small church, and even storefront church, and it grew, tell me one time, to maybe several hundred people, maybe 1,000 people in a small place. And when the opportunity came to come to Dallas, Texas, and he walked in that building, some of us would remember Grant, was a healing evangelist, used to have that building. And he said he didn't have money. He walked in, he said, And the man told him what he wanted for it. He looked around the place. That place has now been torn down so they can build an education and children facility and all that. And he walked in there and he said, he asked the man of God who was showing it to him, he said, can you give me a moment? And he said, he stayed in there. He said, and I just had to talk to the Lord. He said, I didn't ask the Lord, how much should I negotiate for? He said, I didn't ask the Lord where the money is coming from. He said, I didn't ask the Lord, can I fill it? I didn't ask the Lord where, because the place is seated 3,000. I didn't ask, I asked the Lord one question. Is it mine? Y'all ain't hearing me here. See, because if it's yours, money got to line up. If it's yours, a no will be turned into a yes. If it's yours, people who won't even like you will bless you. If it's yours, folks will let it go and don't even know why they're letting it go. If it's yours, somebody else can have a contract on it. And God said, don't receive the contract. Get out the contract, because this belongs to somebody else. Listen, if God got something for you, it don't matter what people say. It don't matter if you have the resources. If it's yours, it's yours. You got to know it's yours. Glory to God. When I met Pastor Marcia, one of my fraternity brothers was interested in her. And she kind of started cheating on him and started talking to me. They was talking, but she come calling my room, telling me, have you seen so-and-so? I said, you know he ain't here. You ain't calling to talk to him. You know his room number. Well, I just figured since y'all frat and you're on the same campus, we don't hang out like that. Girl, you know you won't talk to me. Thing went from there. Pastor Marcia told your story. I said wear suits on campus with briefcases and all. You know, I was very extinguished. I look very distinguished on campus. And so when he saw that she was slipping away, he decided to put a suit on and a tie and went by her house to see her. See, I knew not to come by her house because mama didn't like me. I'm like, all right, that'll be the end of that. Go on by there. But he went by her house, and he put us. I remember she called him. She said, he came by here in a suit and everything, trying to get my swag, to try to get my woman. But you can dress like me if you want. But what's mine is mine. Come on now. Folks can try to copy you. Come on now. They can try to do it just like you. Come on now. They can try to mimic you. They can try to sound like you. But if what they trying to get is not theirs and is yours, listen, you just wasting your time perpetrating a fraud, because what God has for me is for me. Hallelujah. Moses was concerned about looking like a fool. Moses was concerned about looking ignorant, which at the end of the day, that's pride. When we're more concerned about how we look than what God says, that's pride. When we're more concerned about how we look than how we make God look, that's pride. But we have to remember, whenever God tells you to do something, it's not about you. I think Pastor Mark said that first, it's bigger than you, boo. It's not just about you. I was telling Pastor Marcia, you know, I have such a peace at this point about us moving forward, you know, with even building again. And the Lord had, you know, he kind of slowed us down. And the Lord had me in this place of really questioning myself and judging my motives. And say, now, why you want to build that? Is that about me or is that about you? See, are you trying to make yourself look bigger and better and brighter and stronger and more intelligent and grand? Or are you trying to give me glory? Now the initial thing, if you're not honest, we say, oh, sure, Lord. Jesus, this is about you, Jesus. You know, you can give God a real religious thing. Oh, no, Lord, I want you to get glory. But I had to check myself. I had to check myself. And I have to say, now if we don't build it, how you going to be? And I had to evaluate, if it ain't the will of God, I'm going to thank God I didn't try to do it. Are you hearing me? And then the Lord took me to Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar comes out one day after he had built this great kingdom and palace and this city. And he comes out and he said, look what I have built with my might. And then he says, for my glory. And God said, you fool. And God let him lose his mind because he took his mind off the Lord and put it on himself. I think there's a scripture that says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me, not you. Y'all are hearing me here. And so I had to evaluate. Why do I want to build? Is this the will of the Lord? Or is it to just say, Herbert Bailey came from nothing and nowhere, and look what the ministry that he built. And look what, no. This can't be about me. Come on now. Can't be about me. And so I had to get that settled, that this is the will of the Lord, not my will. Are y'all hearing me? And then we get ready to go back on national television. For the most part, I had come off of national television. We won several. We used to be an INSP and the Word and this. And the Lord, and I was coming through an airport one day. And people stopped me. Oh, how you, God bless you, Dr. Ben. Oh, I see you in the Word Network. I see you in the, well, where are you from? I'm doing a little small talk. And the Lord said, oh, you're famous, huh? The Lord said, you're famous. And then the Lord said to me, he said, is it about you being famous? This is what the Lord said to me. Do you want to be famous or you want to be effective? And at that time, because the Lord challenged me, I came off of national television. Because I said, Lord, I want to be effective. I don't want to be doing stuff just for the sake of doing it. Whatever you're doing, it got to be about him and not about you. So Moses saying, God, what they going to say about me? God said, it ain't about you. Tell them I am sent you. When they ask, well, who? Or you, tell them, I ain't nobody, because it ain't about me. I came to you because I am sent me to you. Oh, don't even focus on me, but look to him. I got a message from him. It ain't my message, it's his message. Man, and I'm seeing various things happening in the body of Christ today, and people talking about they want to do this because they desire to do this, and nothing's wrong with that, but you better make sure your desires line up with his desires, because the Bible said many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's ultimately the Lord's purposes that are going to prevail, that's going to be established. You can have plans, God got purpose. You can have plans, God got purpose. You can have plans, God got purpose, and your plans will be futile if they don't line up with his purpose. God does not fund your plans. God funds his purpose. Let me say it again. God does not fund your plan. He funds his purpose. Somebody came to me years ago and they said, I need some money and I need a job. Can you hire me? And I said to them, no, you're asking the wrong question. The purpose of me giving you a job is not because you need money. Y'all catching this? I said, no, you're asking the wrong question. The purpose of me giving you a job is not because you need money. Everybody needs money. The purpose of me giving you a job is because I need some work done. You didn't catch that. You're not catching that. See, you think the purpose of a job is money. No, the purpose of a job is because they need some work done. If you do the work, the money follows. Come on now. You remember what the parable said? The man sent people to the vineyard. He said, go into the vineyard and work. And whatever is right, I will pay. And so God is not just concerned about, I need money. God said, yeah, I know you need money, but I got some work that need to be done in the earth. And if you would do the work, I'll give you the money. Are y'all getting this? See, we got this thing twisted. God, what's your purpose? What do you want done in the earth? And who, watch it. And who are you using to do something already that I can get involved with what they're doing? So then as a result of what I make happen for somebody else, you'll make happen for me. And as a result of being faithful in small things, you'll make me ruler over bigger things. And as a result of being faithful in the little, you'll give me that which is much. Everybody say purpose. Glory to God. Moses was concerned about his pride. Listen, if God's going to use you to do great things, sometimes you got to be willing to look like a fool. Because look like a fool because you dare to do things and attempt things that others would never. Nehemiah looked like a fool when as a slave, he told me, we're going to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls. With these former slaves. Joshua looked like a fool when they were in battle and the sun was going down. And he looked at the sun and said, sun, stand still. But the New Testament, James says, and God hearkened to the voice of a man and the sun stood still. And it is scientifically, however they measure that in the universe and all that, it is scientifically proven. I don't know about how they measure all that, but there's a space of time in history that they can't account for, where time stopped. Are y'all hearing me? Because he dared to look like a fool and said, son, stand still. Will you dare to look like a fool and say, money cometh? Will you dare to look like a fool when they've shown you a bad report with the tumor right there and telling you that there's nothing we can do about it? Will you dare to look at the doctor and say, doctor, I thank you for doing everything that you can do, but I'm healed. Ah, glory to God. God needs some folks who are willing to look like a fool so he can be glorified. God wants some folks who are willing to swallow your pride and say, it ain't about me at all. But God gonna get glory through my life. God gonna get glory through this circumstance. God gonna get glory through this lack. God gonna get glory through this sickness. God gonna get glory. One of our members came up to me Sunday. Excuse me, this past Wednesday. She said, Pastor, I got a praise report. I said, what's your praise report? She said, well, I take dialysis 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And my heart went out. She said, but Pastor, my praise report is that I've gone down to 10 hours a day. Oh, come on, come on. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me here. Y'all ain't hearing me here. better learn to praise God for every little blessing. You better learn to praise God that you're headed in the right direction. You better learn to praise God that is better than it used to be. You better learn to praise God that I'm closer to my manifestation. You need to praise God that I still got some month left at the end of all my bills. God gonna get glory some kind of way. I've been thinking about that thing all week. We complaining that we don't have the nice car. We complaining that we don't have a bigger house. And she said, my praise is that I've gone from 12 hours a day or dialing down to 10. And she said, Pastor, and I'm believing I will be completely off for it. Can you look at somebody and say, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I'm on my way. See, the way you're looking at me, you think I'm so far. It looks like I'm so far from where I'm trying to go. But you don't know what I've already been through. You don't know how much progress I already made. You don't know how far I've already come. When we were in Oklahoma, I don't know if you remember this, Chandler. We were in Oklahoma. The pastor we here come from the back, and so I don't know if you remember that, but you know, we have Sunday school and then we have church. We have a break between Sunday school and church. And so Chandler, I don't know if you remember, Chandler and my kids were little, and so it was a McDonald's down the street. And Chandler came and he said, Daddy, he take drugs. He take drugs. I told you, I saw him, Daddy. He was smoking drugs. You know, that was during the Day of the Dad program. They were telling, you know, he take drugs. And so, Tyler's with him, said, yeah, he was taking drugs. And like they backing each other up. So I'm like, they really, and they just traumatized. So I went to, I said, listen, Minister Soames, I said, my kids, he concerned. It's, oh, they just saw me just get smoke a cigarette. I went to the pastor. I said, Pastor, there's one of the ministers in the church. He walking between church and Sunday school. And he's smoking cigarettes. And it's messed my kids up. He said, listen, he said, yeah, Herb. He said, I know smoking ain't a good thing. He said, but you don't know where he came from. He said, when he came to this church, I got him off the street. He was a crack addict. And now he's in church every Sunday. And all he does right now is smoke a cigarette. He said, I know it looked like he got a long way to go. But you don't know how far he's come. Are you hearing me here? See, folks can look at you, but they don't know your story. I know I still need to be delivered up, but you don't know what he already delivered me from. And I give him praise that I'm on the way. And I give him praise that if he brought me this far, he didn't bring me this far to leave me. And I'm going to go all the way. Tell somebody I'm going all the way. God gonna get glory. God gonna get glory. God gonna get glory out of my story. God gonna get glory out of my story. I'm not gonna hide it, because God gonna get glory out of my story. Hallelujah. Peter looked like a fool when he stepped out the boat. Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Come on. And the Bible says he stepped out and began to walk on the water. Can't y'all hear the rest of the disciples? Fool, you don't step out of boats into water. But he was able to do it because Jesus said, come. Watch this. And the Bible said he began to walk on the water and walking toward Jesus until he got overwhelmed, watch this, by the waves and by the wind. If you follow my faith stretching exercises, I talked about that. What the Lord showed me about that, it's not like when he got on the water, the wind and the waves came. The wind and the waves was already there. Some of you right now, you don't even realize you're walking through wind, you're walking through waves, you're walking through storm, but because your eyes are on Jesus, you ain't even focusing on the wind and the storm. And the devil want to try to make you say, what are you doing? Do you realize there's a storm out here? Do you realize there's wind? I'm telling you, just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. Stop focusing on the wind and the waves, because the wind and the waves was there before you started walking. Man, that's good preaching right there. a fool. And the Bible says he walked out on the water, and some of y'all say, but he sank. Read the word. The Bible says he began to sink. When's the last time you walked on water and began to sink? You don't begin to sink, you just sank. He began to sink. Ooh, man, that's good right there. I got some more preaching there. He began to sink. But before he went under, Jesus grabbed him by his hand. Will you look at somebody and say, I will not go under. Oh, my God. You can think I'm sinking if you want to. But I assure you, I will not go under. Because the only reason why I'm out on this water is because Jesus told me to come. And if he told me to come, he going to be with me. And if I begin to sink, he going to hold out his hand. And he going to uphold me with his right hand. Look at somebody and say, I will not sink. I will not sink. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm not going under. I'm not going under. Oh, it may look like I'm sinking, but I'm not going under. Oh, I'm still breathing. I'm still here. I still got breath in my lungs, glory to God. It may look like I'm doggy paddling, but I'm still on top of this water, and the waves will not overflow me. Hallelujah! I ain't going under. God will uphold me by his spirit. Paul looked like a fool. He was preaching. While he's preaching, he sees a man out in his audience. The man wasn't sleeping. He looks at the man and he sees faith rising up in the man. Can I tell you, even when I look out on the audience, I can see who's receiving and who's just saying when they're going to be over. I can see who's getting built up in their faith and people who just going through the motions. The Bible said Paul looked at the man. The man had been crippled in his feet. The Bible said he had never walked. Not he used to walk. He's a grown man, had never walked. And while he's preaching, Paul looks at the man, perceived that he's receiving. He's perceiving that faith is coming by the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. He looks at the man and said, stand up on your feet and walk. Y'all know folks probably, what the? He don't know that this man ain't never walked. And when he said it, the man stood up and walked. Will you dare to speak to a situation that has never happened before and say, oh, it's going to happen now, though? Will you dare to look at something dead and say, oh, no, you're going to live? Will you dare to look at a child who ain't never had an A and say, oh, no, you're going to have some A's this year? Y'all are hearing me here. Will you dare to look at bills and say, oh, no, you're going to be paid this year? Something that's never happened before. Will you dare to look like a fool by declaring the word of God? Can't be about you. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to end here. Got to be willing to look like a fool. Can't be concerned with what you look like and concerned with what folks going to say about you, because it ain't about you, boo. So 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 25, it tells us why God gets glory out of foolish things, foolish faith, foolish situations. Foolish statements that defy natural comprehension and human reasoning. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25, it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Y'all didn't catch that. He said God's fool is wiser than man's genius. God's fool is still wiser than man's genius. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the person who's weak in God's strength is stronger than Mr. Atlas, is stronger than the world's strongest man. Paul said, let me explain how this works. He said, because you see, you're calling, brethren. Yes. Look at you. Come on. Those of you who work in ministry, those of you leaders in the church, I know we look good on Sundays, but there's some parts of us and our background and our thoughts. He said, I said, oh, he said, you don't think that God used foolish things and foolish people? He said, just think about yourself.
Are your dreams and expectations on hold because you're allowing doubt and unbelief to settle in? Don't give up on your possibilities. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you. Yes, you can accomplish your goals and fulfill your dreams. Order this powerful message today. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Yes, You Can.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.